This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
It's time for 5 on. Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on.
I got nothing to say. I think we covered everything at halftime. I'm still grossed out at the thought of good-looking Al Davis and good-looking John Madden.
Why does that bother you so much?
Because they taught me football. I don't want them looking good. I don't need there to be any glamorous aspect to them. They're like family.
They can't have positive aesthetics? Is that what you're saying?
I don't want to be all weird about it.
Why? You're making it weird. They're not making it weird. They're just playing parts of guys, and they look like the guys that they're playing.
Oh, yeah. If there's one guy who probably doesn't know he's good-looking, it's Christian Bale.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
And why are you all so obsessed with American Psycho as a society? The movie's been out for 20 years.
It's a great movie.
5 on it then? 5 still on gro- it. It's Number gross one. To think about.
Who was the most valuable player in the Cubs series win over the Reds this weekend at Wrigley Field?
Okay, I know we talked a lot about all these important people, like...
There's a lot of them, right?
You mentioned Jameson Taillon and how he works on all these different things. And it's like a chef and he's got all these ingredients. And we talked about the importance of Kyle Tucker and how valid he was to and is to the Cubs' offensive existence. But I didn't even mention PCA stats yesterday. 3 hits, 3 runs, 2 stolen bases. He is using all of his energy in positive ways. And when you consider how he was able to help contribute even yesterday, I still think he might be my MVP.
He also had quite the diving catch on Saturday. That was a very nice catch.
That was an incredible catch. Also, shout out to Matt Shaw for some really solid defense at third base.
So that's where you're going, huh? Okay. All right. PCA. That was my answer, but I'll let you have it.
No, what? Why? It's not a battle of... finite resources.
Oh, we can agree?
We've been agreeing. We both also think Michael Bush deserves time against lefty starters.
Yeah, he'd probably be my guy, but they only let him play one game. So I can't have a guy who played one game be the MVP of the series, right? That doesn't make any sense.
Why not?
All right, Michael Bush.
Make it make sense. Are you only doing this because I picked Pete Crow Armstrong? Because that's weird.
He batted 1,000.
Nobody ever said we had to like always pick different
sides.
Yeah,
we're government and mandated to not agree with each other. So
here's
like,
the deal.
What is that? We have to embrace debate.
Here's why I'm going to go with Michael Bush. The Cubs were undefeated when he started a game. They were not undefeated when PCA started a game. Got it? Also, he was perfect at the plate. 1,000 on base percentage. Nice slug as well. Five bases, is that good? In two swings of the bat?
Yeah, 5 total bases is great.
So I'm going to go with Michael Bush. Get that man some... The man hits lefties. There's this idea he doesn't hit lefties. He actually has just as good in numbers, actually better numbers against lefties in his career than he does righties. Let the man hit lefties.
It's time, Craig. It's time. Take the training wheels off. 5
on Number 2.
So Kyle Tucker left Sunday's game with a jammed right finger after sliding into second base, but this question isn't about Kyle Tucker. What's the most inconvenient minor injury a person can suffer?
Is it the blood blister? Because I have one, and it was very inconvenient. It's very minor. It hurt for like a day. It's still there physically, so it's on my pinky. I heard it when I got stuck between two weights at the gym. Couple of plates. I don't lift per se. I gently try to move.
This is like when Marshall says I don't go out, and then he's like, "Let me tell you about that time that I was out."
No, this is not the
same
thing. You're
like, "I don't go out," and then you're like, "What's that super secret new place that I went to so long ago, aka a month ago?" And I'm like, "Do you hear the words coming out of your mouth? Yes, you lift. That's why you have a blood blister.
I have a blood blister because I lift. That's not it though. It's a hangnail. I'm sorry. If you've ever had a hangnail and not had immediate like ability to address the hangnail, band-aid the hangnail, all that. It just hurts.
It does. It like throbs.
It hurts.
And you're like, why is this bothering me? I thought I was better than this.
Layla, once you get the band-aid and you're good, you're good.
No, not for me. It still like hurts and throbs. And I'm like, stop, finger. Like, what are you doing over there? Get it together.
Is that your answer then?
No.
Oh, what's your answer?
I think it's bursitis. Nothing's really wrong with you. Only a little wrong with you.
I don't think I even know what bursitis is.
Like, what I got to say, I don't know what it is either.
Are you talking about like an athlete injury? I think it's got to be bursitis.
Okay, well, tell me what bursitis is.
Bursitis is bursa are fluid-filled sacs in your body that help, are squishy between joints and they help you move. They are all over, but they are especially prevalent in joints. So if you irritate one thing, then your bursa will go crazy. The knee, for example, is a place where a lot of people get bursitis, and the inflammation is so severe sometimes that you can't move the joint.
At the top of your knee?
Yeah.
I think I have bursitis.
Is it swollen? Does it limit your movement?
I think we just diagnosed it.
It's like, no, I'm reading about bursitis on the internet, and it seems to kind of go with what's going on with my knee.
Marshall Harris is every person anywhere with internet access. Like, I think I have this thing on WebMD.
They are, yes, small fluid-filled sacs that cushion the joints and reduce friction between bones and soft tissues. So basically, nothing's really wrong with you. Your body's just mad at you.
How do you get rid of
it? And it's so mad at you that you can't move.
You don't.
You have to stop the swelling, usually ice, and also just rest. But it's like driving a car when the windshield wiper doesn't work and it's raining. Like, that's how I feel about bursitis. For athletes, anyway. Hangnail is up there for me, though. But also just the injury of slept on something funny.
Okay, so I can't rest. Rest is not an option.
But
I walk to work every day, both ways, uphill in the snow sometimes, even in June.
Do you do anything for the inflammation? Like, do you support your knee with a bandage of some sort? How do you not know you didn't have this?
Well, you know,
I told you my knee's been bothering me.
I told you my knee's been bothering me, but I didn't really know what it was. But this all lines up exactly with how my knee is feeling.
Is it bothering your movement? Like, is it limiting your range of movement?
Yeah, a little bit. Not much, but a little bit. It more bothers me when I sit in this chair. I'm going to start standing up, but then the mic's got to be real high because I'm not, shorter.
I have a minor injury to throw into the list, so I have two, actually, and it's both in the mouth. One is a burnt tongue.
Yo! Ooh. Not that type of show.
If you have a
it is that type of show. We already established this.
Do we kink shame? The other show doesn't. Do we kink shame?
No, we do not kink shame here. Okay. So what's going on in your mouth?
Burnt tongue, terrible feeling. The other one is a canker sore, because all I want to do is, like, dig into it, and it just hurts so much.
Yeah,
so.
The canker sore gets so inflamed, then your teeth are like, I'm supposed to bite this? And you're like, no, teeth, no.
I think the burn on the top, the roof of your mouth is worse than the burnt tongue itself.
I agree with that too. Like the hot piece of pizza, yeah, you bite it and it's terrible.
Okay. It's always cheese. Cheese retains heat. That's what I've learned.
Look at you teaching me things.
I'll throw one in.
Your mind is blown over bursitis?
Yeah, it is.
It's really annoying, but also minor, but annoying.
I'm going to just give you a quick inconvenient injury. The blister you get if you have a shoe or a boot or something like that kind of rubs on your heel, like, the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, because then you can't do anything.
An actual blister? You're talking about an actual blister?
An actual blister.
I've got something for you. Not low rates. So Band-Aid and other companies make this tiny little deodorant stick-looking thing, and you put it on the place of friction that you anticipate beforehand, like your heel, for example, or for me in sandal season, it'll be like sides of toes and things like that. And then it prevents that from happening.
Look at that.
Boom. Buff, tough actin, tenactin. What's the
tough actin, tenactin?
Yeah, tough actin.
Nailed it.
I just thought about that because of the John Madden, Nicolas Cage talk earlier.
Ooh, 847 and says a sty. Sty is a good point.
I haven't had a sty either.
309 says the infamous soft tissue injury.
Okay.
815, bursitis ends with a bursa sacs burst and you don't have them anymore. Not a fun process.
Whoa, that seems aggressive.
No, because I stopped mine. It just went away, but it took a lot of ice. People tell me to take, an anti-inflammatory, but I found that ice worked for me personally the best.
847. Most inconvenient injury, Beans and Franks from There's Something About Mary. That is a very...
I wouldn't know about that,
that's
but I'll
more
take
than inconvenient.
You guys
That's a real injury.
It. Yeah.
Number three.
Hey, remember on Friday when you guys were out and about at our remote and you guys said this?
We have a chance to see not one, but two Chicago teams sweep this weekend. Here's the thing is that I'm hype machine today.
Okay.
And also, what better chance do the White Sox have than facing the Orioles this weekend?
The White Sox could leave this series and no longer be the team with the worst record in the American League.
Yeah, sorry about that. That didn't happen. How bad is it that the Sox were swept?
Okay. It's really bad. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I was really hoping that the Sox, this was their best chance at a sweep until they play the Rockies. And even then, I'm questioning everything now. They only scored 5 runs in the entire series. The entire series. I'm like, oh, the Cubs scored 5 runs in an inning? Like, that's unacceptable. And once again, they had solid pitching. They just didn't have anything to back it up. The White Sox are now 3-15 in one-run games.
Is that bad?
Now, the Orioles only outscored them to have 9 runs in the entire series. This was a battle of wills.
Again, their last 7 losses have been by 2 runs or less. They're always in the game. They just can't win the game.
And there's nothing more insulting than a 2-1 loss.
Is that worse than 1-0?
Yes.
Tell me why.
It is 100% worse than 1-0 because you have 100% more runs if you have a 2-1 loss.
Oh.
Like there's something about the 2-1 loss that really bothers me.
Yeah, because 1-0 is like, oh, we just didn't have it that day. 2-1 is like, oh, we were able to score a run. We just needed another one.
To
we were right there.
Tie, and then another to, therefore, win the game.
Back to what you said about the July, or excuse me, you didn't say this. I'm going to tell you. July 4th, 5th, and 6th.
is that the series we look forward to?
That is
now?
The Rockies for the White Sox. At the same time, interesting enough, at home for the Cubs, a 3-game set with the St. Louis Cardinals. Could that be the double sweep that you've been waiting on? Or there's this other alternative. The White Sox don't sweep anybody the rest of the season.
That was going to be my next question. Do we think, should we do a dollar bet here? Will the Sox sweep?
No, because it's at Colorado.
Or just in general, will they have a sweep the rest of the year? Mass says yes, but the team says no.
How many sweeps did they have last season?
I don't believe they had a sweep last season.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
They don't have a sweep this season, I can tell you that. They did have a sweep. Do you want to know who they swept?
Yes.
Last season?
Last year?
They swept. They had two sweeps last year.
Two?
Yes. One of these teams plays in the American League East. One of these teams plays in the American League West.
Red Sox, A's.
No.
Damn it.
You had the right state for the American League West.
Angels?
Yes, they swept the Angels. They also swept the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, that's right.
That was early in April. So,
it's all coming back.
Would you like to make a wager?
Now.
Would you like to make a wager?
Yeah.
Okay, the White Sox won't get a sweep this year. That's my stance.
Oh, that's. I was going to go with you on that.
The Sox are going to sweep this year. I'm in. So, yeah, the Sox are going to get a sweep.
This is very Josh Giddey of you right now. Your love for Josh Giddey is sweeping over into the White Sox.
The two people I love the most in this town, Josh Giddey, Chris Getz. Because Chris Getz went to my high school. Oh, so, I have to root for my guy.
Robbie, I know you're in a tough moment right now because Frank Ragnow has announced his retirement.
I forgot about that.
But that doesn't mean that you have to go.
Look at you twisting
totally,
the knife.
I'm
totally
the voice of the people who don't
here.
Have voices. You know, I'm the lover of the ones who.
You mean the voice of the voiceless?
Yeah. What did I say? Am I the voice of the voices? I'm the voice of the voices.
No, you just said you're the voice of the people who don't have voices.
I'm talking about this Caleb Williams guy.
It has been a rough talking Monday for me as well. I've like combined 4 different thoughts to start the show into one, and it was actually.
Okay, so we're not making a wager on the White Sox sweeping a series this year because we're on the same side of the ledger.
Listen, this isn't like Stephen A. and what's his name, Mad Dog. We don't have to always take opposite sides on things. We can't agree on stuff.
Oh, no, I'm looking for a chance to make some money. That's what this is about. I'm looking for some chance to make a friendly $1 wager.
I'm just sad because that probably was their best chance to sweep.
Yeah, it's very disappointing they did not win a single game against the Orioles. We went from talking about them sweeping to talking about them being swept.
What if Colorado trades Ryan McMahon but before the series? Do you think that would be enough to put the Sox over the top for the sweep? I say yes.
Are they trading Ryan McMahon to the Sox?
I think that other teams who want to trade for a third baseman would probably.
Who's hitting barely over 200? Sure.
Have you looked at third base's production in these Major League Baseball
streets? Matt Shaw, keep doing what you're doing. You look really good, especially on defense right now.
Number 4.
In December of 2023, Las Vegas Aces coach Becky Hammon said this about Knicks guard Jalen Brunson on ESPN.
But at the end of the day, they don't have a dude. You got to have a dude. You got to have a 1A dude. Jalen Brunson.
And no, he's too small.
But here's the thing, and that's
didn't they say about you?
But you know
he
what?
They say that about you if you're a Hall of Famer.
I got a philosophy. But, can I say my philosophy?
Go ahead.
If your best player is small, you're not winning. John Stockton, Allen Iverson, Steve Nash. You could go down the list.
Did Becky Hammon's take on Jalen Brunson age well, or is there hope that the Knicks can make a future run at the NBA Finals with Brunson as the centerpiece of the team?
Did she really invoke the name of Allen Iverson in that way?
She did. She talked about Allen Iverson. She talked about all of them, except for she didn't mention my guy, Steph Curry. But also, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter who ever walked the planet. But she also didn't mention Zeke, Isaiah Thomas. Because he got it done as well.
All of that disproves her theory. Also, how funny was the contrast of her voice to Perk?
Perk, it's
Jalen Brunson, he's too small.
It's not often that you see Perk like pause and back down, but there she had him on the back pedal. She had him on his Donald Faison in Remember the Titans.
Perk is a big man. So, like, at that point, you know, it was just undoubtedly about the size discussion.
But Becky had that dog in her when she said what she said.
She does. That's who she is.
That's who she is.
But you're right. Steph Curry is the biggest antidote on here.
No, but, like, he's all... But that conversation continued, and she said, he's also the greatest shooter of all time, so that's why he stands out. He's an outlier. Zeke, that's a better thing, but she says... Why do you have to go that far back to find a small guy winning championships?
The way she listed them
too
off,
small,
and the way I just crumbled.
She was ready. She was ready.
I was
for Perk.
Like, oh, not AI. It just crumbled to the ground with the dagger through the heart. Oh, that was painful. She does have a point, but again, it's still her argument about size being. Well, for lack of a better term, what matters here? She disproved it when you say Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas. I think, like, that's disproving it.
I think it's those are two special Hall of Fame talents that...
But then it's not true.
Okay. It's been a long time.
So can I ask you guys to follow up? I want to follow up on the other aspect of this. With Jalen Brunson as the centerpiece of this Knicks team, can they get to the next level with him, or do they need to start with somebody else at the center?
I think they can.
I hate to say this, but they need to start with just more dudes playing. Like, yep. It's a Tibbs minutes issue. They need more talent. Yeah, maybe they need one more of that level, and I get why they traded for Kat, but he's got to play other people. You can't be doing this.
So my other quick follow-up is Kat going to be on this team next year?
Yes, he will be. Because what are you going to do?
Get Giannis.
The Knicks with Giannis.
Giannis makes too much money.
You had Brunson as their second guy and Giannis as their first.
Giannis makes too much money. They've got to figure out
how to trade the salaries, though. I mean, they got a lot of stuff.
No, but they got to figure out
who else
is going to play.
Put it in the trade machine. Put it in the trade machine and see.
Other people would have to play, and I don't know that Tibbs is ready to trust other people to play.
But maybe he's gaming it if it's Giannis because Giannis is so efficient. Like, he gets down the court in four steps, so then...
Four and a half, but yes, I
hear
what you're
saying. You know what I'm saying. So the Giannis is like, a minute for me is like five for other people. And then he's like so cool in philosophy all about it and then says something neat and what? Then they win games.
Wait, do we have another question or is that... Okay, we get... Okay, yeah. Squeeze another one.
Number five.
All right, so I found out something about myself yesterday. I went to Jenny's with my girlfriend, got some ice cream. Delicious.
What flavor?
You got to get the gooey butter cake. The gooey butter cake at Jenny's is unbelievable.
Number one.
A lot of calories there.
Definitely.
Stop it.
But while I was
eating
the ice cream...
Robbie weighs like 7 pounds.
Yeah, I do. I'm actually... Like, it was windy the other day, and I started just flying. So, like, I took a bite of the cone. Like, the ice cream on the cone, not the cone itself, but my girlfriend's like, wait a minute, you chew ice cream. And I found out myself, I've chewed ice cream my whole life. If I have it in the spoon, I chew it. I chew it off the cone. Like, if it's just the ball. Is it weird to chew ice cream?
Yeah. Is your mouth made of platinum? Like, how are you not?
I have sensitive teeth, so I can't just be chewing straight through. I mean,
I get it. Even if you have normal teeth. No, I don't chew ice cream.
Well, but don't you... So you're just literally using your mouth to soften the ice cream until it melts
enough
to swallow.
If it has like cookie dough in it or something, then yes,
yeah, you're
that
chewing it.
Chewed.
Yeah, and you had gooey butter cake, so that's
but
got
I'm, like,
some solid stuff to it.
But like the froze sorbet at Jenny's, which I love.
So is it about the
chewing?
Is it about the chewing or is it about biting into it versus licking it?
It's a little bit of both. Like if I have it in the spoon, I'm still chewing it in my mouth. I understand if there's like cookie dough and stuff, you're probably gonna chew, but I do not lick the cone. I just chew.
Oh, you just never lick the cone. Oh, that's weird.
Are you a cyborg? Like, like, why don't you have any cold sensitivity?
But it's not soft serve, right? Because you would different approach for soft serve.
Yeah,
ice
soft
cream.
Serve, you kind of have to lick, because if you bite it, it's just impossible.
I am not going to leave Robbie out on this ledge. I kind of do the same thing.
You chew ice cream?
Yeah, it's been, since I was a kid, this is just a habit I guess I never broke out of.
This is where we embrace debate.
Here we are.
You got chewers
I
back
stand
there.
With you, Robbie Triano.
Next time people, whenever they eat ice cream, just notice, am I chewing or am I licking? And if you chew, welcome to the dark side.
So also add to the fact that some people don't get brain freezes and some get brain freezes every time.
I never get a brain freeze. My teeth don't get cold.
See, we might have a commonality there. I don't get brain freezes, see?
What? There's cyborgs produce our show?
I'm very disappointed in this chewing ice cream thing. I don't do it, so I get the ice cream, and I just don't want it to melt, so I'm just licking away.
Also, Rainbow Cone is opening up by our station. We got to go, right? Science for
I'm
science.
Chew away.
Rainbow Cone for science.
What's Rainbow Cone?
Wait a minute.
All right. We've been told to break. So, coming back, Caitlin Sharkey of WGN did one-on-one interviews with DJ Moore and Roma Dunze at their football camp, which looked like a really good time. But they said a lot of important things about the Bears and OTA so far. So we're going to listen to that, and I'm going to have to explain to Marshall about Rainbow Cone during the break. That's next.
You're listening to Raheemi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
How does that apply to DJ Moore? There were some instances last year where his body language was caught on camera and caused some people to ask some questions. Is it similar with him? Have you talked to him about?
Yeah, we've talked to the entire team about what we want it to look like, what good teams do, what playoff teams do. This is the example we're setting, and this is the direction we're going.
I love this song. I just want to relax and listen to this song.
She had hers.
Always enjoy watching the Sunday night GN sports, and last night was no different. Chris Bowden, Caitlin Sharkey, Dave Ennett actually on that show last night. This is Raheemi and Harris on The Score, Layla Raheemi and Marshall Harris and you. And Caitlin Sharkey attended the football camp that Roma Dunze and DJ Moore held. Very cool that they do the event. And she got some really good interviews from them, so I thought we would share them with the class. So let's start with what she had to say with DJ Moore, which I thought was really good insight from a guy that we haven't heard a lot from so far this offseason.
Ben's intense, as everybody can see. He's demanding a lot out of everybody, and it's good on us to have a little change, and looking forward to it all coming up.
How is learning the new offense? And, like, I know it's very early stages of it, but what are the biggest differences you've noticed?
The details, how he demands perfection, and if we don't do it, we got to go back and do it again. And you really got to study this playbook, so I've been in my playbook a lot.
Is there a feeling of, like, fresh excitement, new, kind of putting last season behind, and, like, you feel, like, rejuvenated almost coming into this season?
Rejuvenated, yes. you can't put them feelings the losses in the past, but you got to, and you got to move on to this new regime and just go with the everything that they got going on and just trust the process.
With all the new coaching changes and some new faces too on the team, like, what's the biggest, most important part of the offseason to kind of get everybody to gel together as you guys get ready for the season?
Just bonding time, whether it's just out here or just going to dinners and just getting to know everybody.
What have been the biggest differences you've noticed as Ben, as a coach, but then as a person too?
As soon as he steps on the field, he's intense. It's like the little smiles he has, it goes away, and then he's wanting to make sure everybody's on task.
And how's it feel going into you, just another season? Like, is it kind of crazy? Year
it's
eight?
Crazy. But I'm still here, so, and I'm still having fun.
There was a lot of fun background noise in that interview. Like the adorable baby talking. That was, DJ had one of his kids in his arms.
Right. On
that
the hip.
Precious.
As he should.
It was on the hip.
Yes. I saw it.
He's a sure-handed receiver, both with humans and footballs.
Yes, he can catch that baby if they throw the baby out the window.
Unlike Aguilar.
Nelson Aguilar. It's a video.
It's
Google
never
that.
Not funny.
Google
unlike
that.
Aguilar.
You'll enjoy yourselves. Listen. My biggest takeaway from the way the players describe Ben Johnson to a man is just the details. If we don't get it right, it gets corrected immediately. And the fact that everyone points that out in such a way to say, basically, that's not what we were getting last year is very, at this point, not beating a dead horse, but it's you understand what it was and what it was not.
On the contrary, I think this is keeping the horse alive.
The new horse.
That is the difference here, is that you don't want something bad to happen as soon as it starts. And I always, when I hear this, you know what I always think of? Like the phrase that rings in my head is when Caleb Williams was at the line of scrimmage during one of the games. Do you remember him yelling, "Can't do it"? And it's like, that's the stuff that's got to happen. He took a timeout after that, but that's the stuff that has to happen at practice. And for all of them to say it, you're basically explaining what did not occur last year.
Right. And listen, I am a DJ Moore fan in terms of the way he was presented to me on Hard Knocks, he and his family, the way that he has been able to make plays when put in a position to make plays. I also understand his frustrations last year at times, and maybe the overarching frustration of his entire career, given that he's never been on a team with a winning record in a season, ever. And we're talking about going into year 8.
And he always has been quality. When you consider the yards that he's put up and just the production that he has had in the face of all of that, I remember that being the first thought when the Bears acquired him was, oh, this is a really savvy pickup, given what all he brought on a very difficult situation in Carolina.
But you're not in Carolina anymore now. You're in Chicago, and Matty Eberflus is not something that we can use as a scapegoat anymore. Neither is Shane Waldron.
But when you've been in the league for that long, and you see what other teams are doing, and you've amassed that much knowledge, don't you think that that's something you want to do as well?
Yes. And it's not like he's never worked with good quarterbacks. Let's be clear.
Yeah, that Baker Mayfield at one point.
Right. But the issue is, can he be part of an offense that is explosive, high functioning, and most of all, consistent?
Well, and whether or not anybody wants to admit it, I think egalitarian when it comes to getting the ball to your weapons.
I look at his usage and targets, and many a Monday we've come in here like, where was DJ Moore? Why did they not throw the ball to DJ Moore? Because it's not like they were throwing it to him and he was dropping passes. That's not what was happening.
I think that's why we saw him used in different ways toward the end of the season when Thomas Brown was taking over.
Out of the backfield, in different spots, slots, all of it.
And whatever was the best use of his talent. I'll still argue that that is not the best use of his talent, but to have the combination of all those options, that is a more effective way to get touches, make something happen offensively.
I think wondering where he's going to play this year and how much he'll be moved around is big, because we know how Ben Johnson feels about the slot in particular. You want to put playmakers and guys who can do things with their ball in their hands after the catch. And I think DJ Moore fits that type of thing. I mean, we talked a lot about Luther Burden III, but DJ Moore is a finished product. Luther Burden III is an incoming rookie in the NFL.
And you know what? Roma Dunze has a lot to, I wouldn't outwardly say prove, but I think he has a lot that he needs to show in his second season in the league.
No, I think you were right the first time when you said
really?
Prove. He's got a lot to prove.
Again, I'm like, how much of that was a malfunctioning offense?
No, it was, but that just means he has not proven himself yet as an NFL player, a guy who already said he wants to be the Bears' all-time leading receiver when he's done.
Sadly,
in a career?
We know that doesn't take very much. Let's listen to what Rome and Caitlin talked about yesterday.
It's been great. It's been great. You know, sometimes change, is uncomfortable, but I feel like, you know, we're building in that uncomfort. You know, everybody's kind of getting to know each other. We're getting the vibe. Everybody's heard about Ben's intensity, and that's real. So he's been putting everybody on their P's and Q's, and I think that's good for us. And I think we're heading in the right direction. You know, individual-wise, I've been feeling great. You know, made a lot of gains this offseason, learning the playbook and growing. And as a team, I feel like our chemistry is coming together, and we're building up to a special year.
What is that intensity like? Because, I mean, we can hear it at practice. If he doesn't like something from the snap, like he's gonna correct you guys. Is it refreshing? Is it different for you to kind of see that intensity?
It is. It is. It is. It definitely is. I think, just it, for me as a player, that's kind of the coaching I like, you know, just somebody that's going to be on us and hold everybody accountable from the quarterbacks, receivers, D linemen, O linemen, everybody who's on the football field, he's holding accountable. And I think that's good. And he holds himself accountable too. So everybody has to adhere to that high standard. And I think that's how you build a successful team in this league. So I think we're on the right track, but it's definitely an intensity that we all, you know, kind of enjoy.
I know it's very early stages of the install, but what excites you about this offense and your role in this offense?
I think mostly the detail of it. You know, everything is very detailed and organized, and I feel like that's the best part because, you know, you understand that Ben, you know, has a fully understanding of, you know, his playmakers, his ability as an offense, what he wants to scheme up for each and every game. Even though we're not even into that yet, I can already tell in his mind, you know, he's thinking about those things. So, you know, there's lots of explosive plays in there, and that's what he hunts for, man. He talks about explosive plays almost every day. So, you know, that was very similar to Grubb and the offense I kind of had in Washington. So looking forward to many of those plays.
I just want him to continue to develop and go with this new playbook. And you hear him talk about him. It's the genuine excitement because he only has one NFL experience, and it was last year.
I'm sorry, Rome. I'm so sorry.
But Taylor, no, seriously, think about
Rome.
It.
Rome, I'm sorry.
Had a whole completely different experience in college. Comes to the Bears like, this is the NFL.
With a quarterback who is basically NFL age in Michael Penix.
Yes. And he's looking at it like, this is what it is? And as a receiver, there's only so much you can control. And that's the effort every play, whether you're running a route or making a block, right? And your end result doesn't necessarily have as much to do with you as it does at other positions and how you're measured in NFL circles. Like, if you're a lineman, you block every play. They're measuring how well you block. If you're a quarterback, can you take care of the ball and get the ball where it needs to go? But a receiver is completely dependent on other people as far as the prime stats people are looking at, because they're not looking at blocking for most of these receivers. They're looking at receptions, yards per
targets.
Catch, how you do after you catch the football.
And that's how I feel about Cole Kmet. That's why you're not going to hear me criticize him much after what happened last season, because I feel like that was a function of a terrible offense. And there were times where Gerald Everett was getting prioritized more on certain routes because that was the design play. Like, if I could see it coming,
so let's goodness talk about play
knows,
design then.
Goodness knows the entire NFL can. That's how I feel about it. Like, if it's obvious to me. So with Rome, same concept. And there's actually a good question here. 616 says, this is an honest question. I'm not a football pro, but I watch most games. Is DJ Moore good at getting open and catching tough balls? His playmaking ability doesn't stick out to me, not trying to be mean. Ideally, you want everybody to compliment each other. DJ Moore's bread and butter is that he's able to catch balls in traffic and give you a lot of yards and yak and rack, as we call it, yards after the catch. You know, the run after the catch yards. So that's where he really shines. That's why he is the type of guy you want to run a reverse with. He's got that kind of speed. He knows how to work in traffic when there's a lot of bodies. He can make himself pick his way through to get positive yardage. Ideally, that was supposed to be Keenan Allen. You know, one of the league's best route runners in the game, knows how to get open, detailed on timing, detailed on catching those tough balls. That was always his reputation. Trying to figure out what Rome's reputation is. In college, that would dictate similar status. You know, that's what we saw him do. He knew how to get open. He was good at timing the opponents as well to know when to get that jump and those types of things.
And that's why when you say that to me and ask, well, does he really have something to prove? I'm like, absolutely, because he has not done that at the NFL level. People want to see what he did in college, but at the NFL level. And we've seen so many receivers do that. Dominate in college, come to the NFL, and dominate at this level. We've also seen people that have not been as dominant in college develop into receivers who become dominant in the NFL. That's why it's such an interesting thing. You want to make sure your guy pans out, the guy you took with a top 10 pick. And that's why he does have something to prove this season. And I think he knows it too.
But when you hear these two specifically talk about how they appreciate the change and the pressure that is being put on them in practice, and how they have progress there. Like, you can tell when people talk about how they're making progress. And that's what I feel like you're getting out of those two when they're talking about this right now. Mel Robbins, who's a lecture I went to a couple weeks ago, said that the real gratification is never it's not actually when you achieve the goal. It's when you realize you've made the progress to get there, which I think is really true.
We're so focused on the end result. The journey is getting better and getting to the point where you can get your end result. I get it. It's the process. Appreciate the process. Some would even say, trust it.
You can still trust the process. And 262, yeah, we talked about Frank Ragnow a little bit at the end of the 11 o'clock segment after we let Jamal Collier go, because that's when it broke. The Lions, you could argue, were a different offense without Frank Ragnow. This is going to be big. I'm just still kind of shocked that it's happening. All right, 708 Texter. We put it off long enough. Rick Hahn talked about the Fernando Tatis trade. Do we need to say more? Next.
Mullin Haw, Chicago's number one most listened to sports morning show, 5:30 till 10 a.m.
The Cubs are doing very well. They won another series. They didn't start it well, and I was a little concerned about them because they weren't playing very well, but they came back, and Jameson Taillon was great, and Michael Bush hit a home run, and PCA got his hits, and I thought there were a lot of positives for the Cubs over the weekend.
Mullin Haw, mornings 5:30 till 10 a.m. on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment is sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking.
Next time you fly out of Chicago O'Hare Airport, park with Preflight off-airport parking. Download the Preflight Parking app or visit preflightparking.com to book affordable garage parking 4 short miles from O'Hare Airport. Before your next flight, park with Preflight.
Ever feel like the road is out to... Thankfully, Hyundai is always working to ensure it doesn't, with over 130 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006. IIHS Top Safety Awards include Top Safety Pick and Top Safety Pick Plus Awards to Hyundai vehicles from 2006 to 2025.
Right now, for a limited time, you can lease the Hyundai Tucson for $259 a month or get $1,750 bonus cash. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Offers end June 2nd. Call 224-661-0068 for details.
Mullin Haw for Window Nation. Get ready to beat the heat with Window Nation's semi-annual sale. Buy 4 windows, get 4 windows free, and a free entry door when you purchase a house full of windows. Plus, no money down, no interest, and no monthly payments until 2027.
That's a whole lot of savings and a super smart investment when prices keep going up. Their windows also come with a lifetime warranty, so you'll keep saving long into the future. The sale ends soon. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
It's that time again, Chicagoland. Suits 2020 at Niles is bringing back the sale you've been waiting for. The annual Buy More, Save More Indoor Tent Sale. And you don't want to miss it. Save $25, $50, $100, up to $250 on a huge selection of men and boys suits, accessories, casual wear, sportswear, and outerwear. Everything you need to look your best all year round. Shopping for prom? Planning a wedding? Suits 2020 is your go-to source for designer suits and tuxedos. And why rent when you can own for about the same price at Suits 2020? The more you buy, the more you save. It's the perfect time for a wardrobe makeover, and our expert stylists and tailors are here to make sure you get the right look, the right fit, at the right price. The Buy More, Save More Tent Sale is on now through June 8th. Visit Suits2020.com to learn more. Suits 2020, the latest looks at the lowest price. Follow us on Facebook to learn about our special event, Double Rewards Days.
At University of Maryland Global Campus, we give our students credit where credit is due. Credit for deciding in the middle of rush hour traffic to go back and get their bachelor's and a promotion. Credit for managing 3 kids, 2 dogs, and a full-time job to pursue an MBA. And credit for serving in the military by day so they can study cybersecurity at night. For over 75 years, we've been helping students receive the credit they deserve. With more than 135 degrees and certificates, students at UMGC can use prior learning or relevant experience to earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's. And graduate students can transfer up to 12 credits toward their master's. At UMGC, you'll find everything from online to hybrid courses and lifetime career services to scholarship opportunities, making your education journey flexible, fast, and affordable. Classes start June 11th. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Meet Alan, who was diagnosed with sleep apnea.
I was what they call a mouth breather, and I would breathe at night with my mouth open.
And for about 8 years, Alan struggled with a CPAP machine. And then?
And then I saw the Advent commercial, and I thought, well, what do you got to lose? This machine is miserable.
For most people, CPAP machines are miserable. But a simple in-office solution from Advent can be life-changing.
It really was, to me it was amazing, because I don't think I ever breathed that clear.
This is Dr. Madan Kandula. After having one of Advent's simple in-office procedures, people are amazed at how freely and clearly they can breathe.
I'm happy with the procedure. I'm very glad I did it. I wish I would have done it 20 years ago. I could have avoided that machine I had to have laying next to the bed with the hose wrapped around my head.
Schedule your appointment at AdventKnows.com, because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better. Results may vary. Most insurance accepted.
Digging on your property isn't a game. Hitting a buried utility line is a real risk. Contact Julie to request utilities locate their underground lines for free. Every project, every time. Play it safe and everyone wins.
Julie, before you dig.com.
More Raheemi and Harris. Back in 60 seconds on 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Stay cool this summer with AC Pro refrigerant at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 gift card after rebate with the purchase of select AC Pro refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. If your vehicle's AC is blowing hot air, beat the heat with AC Pro. Visit your O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, if there's one thing that we love to talk about as a sports collective in this city.
Bursitis?
Yes, which has affected a White Sox, Jose Abreu. It has also affected a White Sox fan or two, you know.
Me.
Also me. But the point is, there are many things that affect those who observe and appreciate the Sox. Also, shout out to Wally from the 108. His birthday was day before yesterday. So to our friend Wally, happy birthday.
Happy belated.
It's still a classic. Also, shout out to the 108, who now has its own bobblehead. And I'm getting my hands on that bobblehead if it's the last thing I do. That's a threat.
Bobblehead of the entire
group? That's a
group?
Promise of a threat.
Bobblehead of the entire group?
It's the three of them. In the hot tub.
That's what I'm saying.
The entire group is everybody in the section.
Well, you just said the 108, so I was like, I knew it was more than one person at that point.
It's Chorzy, My Sock Summer, and Beef Loaf. I'm not sure that I should say all those names on the air. They'll get taken for drops later.
You're fine.
Okay. And I have talked to them about this very thing. That being the Fernando Tatis-James Shields trade. That some would say is emblematic of the White Sox. Others would say, like me, I understood it at the time because James Shields still gave you over 200 innings in his last year as a White Sox starter. Look it up. Does that make it okay? No. Would you rather hear from Rick Hahn about this? Yes. Well, guess what? That happened on MLB Network.
If there's a trade you wish you could have a do-over on. I mean, it begins and ends with Tatis. I mean, what fool would trade him? Here's the thing about Tatis. Obviously, horrible trade. You know, San Diego actually asked for Eric Johnson, who was part of the trade, right-handed pitcher, as well as another arm initially. And we were reluctant to include two arms. The second arm never went on to actually appear.
They didn't even ask for Tatis?
Initially, it was a different arm. It was a different arm. And we pushed back, and we wound up shuffling and pivoting in the end. They asked for Tatis, which they deserve a ton of credit for identifying this guy out of complex ball as someone they wanted. At the time, it was 2016. We were dealing with a team that was 23-10 coming out of the gate. We knew we weren't as good as 23-10. Matt Latos was doing some things with smoke and mirrors early on in that season. John Danks was trying to fight his way back from injury and losing that battle. And we had a manager in Robin who kind of knew that, like, this, if we don't win this year, he might not want to be around too much longer on his own volition. Mm. So there was a lot pointing towards, let's push in to make this work.
Win now.
And obviously, I regret the trade. Obviously, it did not work out the way we hoped because we wound up not winning. And we ultimately, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of finally getting us to rebuild. But I understand, and I think I take lessons with me going forward. But frankly, as part of the rebuild was wanting to have the depth to withstand if you didn't have
you know, if you had failure at one spot on that roster, which we just did not have in sort of this sort of piecemeal patch on the fly technique we were using.
Okay, first of all, I take a lot of offense at the Matt Latos comment.
Tell me why.
Because he got cut like early on in the season. A lot of things with smoke and mirrors. I'm going to look up Matt Latos' 2016 numbers with the White Sox right now. Because if there's one thing I know he wasn't doing, it was throwing strikes. Stand by. Go on.
Well, I understand why they made a deal. It's the fact that they gave up Tatis and what Tatis turned into. But this is the risk you take every time you make a deal. But also, the way he's talking about Tatis like he's an unknown. Come on, man.
Tatis at the time was 17, correct? I think so.
That'd be like me talking about like a 15-year-old Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Okay, 2016 game log.
You get what I'm saying?
No, I'm on one right now.
Yeah, be on one. But
on Saturday, 4:30 against the Baltimore Orioles, he gave up 11 hits over five innings and had four runs all earned. Smoke and mirrors, what?
And also, Fernando Tatis Jr. is 26, so yeah, he was
17.
Yep.
Not like I've done the math a million times on that one.
But he was 17, but he was also Fernando Tatis Jr.
He gave up 21 runs in the month of May over five starts. What is this smoke and mirrors mess?
Because he didn't give up more than the 21 runs in five starts?
La, la, hey, la, la.
What was that?
Cussing in Arabic.
Oh, okay. That's new for me. I don't think you've ever done that in front of me before. But
do I have to bleep that?
Certain things, no. Certain things. All right, so smoke and mirrors, Matt Latos. I don't know about all that.
I get the Matt Latos thing. But also, they were trying to win.
That is absolutely what happened.
Exactly. No, but I need you to really understand where we are in 2025. Back then, they were trying to win. And they kept trying to win for, about a decade's time with Rick Hahn doing his thing?
But he's right. It was what started the rebuild for the White Sox, which is now a dirty word, and I don't think it should have been. The White Sox did the right thing. They waited and waited to trade Chris Sale until they had the right deal. You know, we mentioned Adam Eaton. That was a deal that brought them Lucas Giolito, for example. They did the right things in how they rebuilt. They just lost the plot when they didn't sign the superstar. And at the time, the superstar was supposed to be Manny Machado.
Well, they're never going to go out and get a free agent guy. I can know that. And as far as making a trade, it's like, how long can we control this guy before we have to trade him again because we can't pay him what he's due on his extension?
But the point you made is valid. And it's the one you said to me during the commercial break. Say that trade doesn't happen. What ends up happening to Fernando Tatis Jr.?
He gets traded somewhere else eventually. It's the White Sox. They're not paying anyone $200 million. They're not paying Kyle Tucker. They're not paying. They'd pay PCA, and they pay him today. That's what I'm more confident.
The White Sox, you're saying if the White Sox were in that situation?
Yeah, they just pay him because we're not going to keep him past whatever we can get out of him right now, so let's just pay him as much as we can.
But what's strange is how much one person can affect an entire trajectory of a franchise like that. If they did have Fernando Tatis Jr., how different would it actually look for that team?
I don't know, because they would have to trade him before they paid him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's the fact that you know that it wasn't the initial deal makes it that much more difficult. But I understand the White Sox as an organization always prioritize pitching. Pitching in their deals, pitching in their returns, typically. That wasn't the case recently, as we've talked about with Chris Getz and the Dodgers and Cardinals deal. However, that was an organizational thing that they had. That was one of their mission statements. But man, if it didn't bite them here. The more disturbing part is trying to figure out life with him.
Yeah, I can't figure that out. I can't be tasked to do that.
I will not stand for the excuse of Matt Latos' performance. That's where I draw the line. At least James Shields gave you 200 innings.
Yeah, 200.
Nope.
Very average innings.
It's a lot more than average-ass Matt Latos did that year. Why this has driven me to swear so much, I'm really sorry, but I'm kind of not sorry. What are we supposed to talk about next? Ah,
we
functioning baseball.
We have a guest.
Lance Brozdowski, who I have some real pitching questions to ask because there's nobody who breaks it down better than he does. He's coming up next to talk about the Cubs. I have some Jameson Taillon-specific questions. We'll ask him about Ben Brown. Maybe he has some random White Sox pitching thoughts that I don't know about. I bet he does because he covers the league. That's all next with Raheemy and Harris on The Score.